We appreciate all of you tuning in this evening, and you all being here, of course, as well. All right, with God being our helper, we want to thank God for the hedge. We're going to look at verse 10 tonight in chapter 1. We're going to look right in the middle of this chapter, and we're going to examine this evening a word that is mentioned once in this entire book, but it is a major part of this story that happens to a man named Job so many years ago. And the word of the day is, of course, hedge. If you have Job chapter 1, verse 10, please say amen.
Amen.
All right, that sounds good. You don't have to read out loud. You don't have to stand. I know you reverence God's word. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here this evening and you wouldn't be tuning in. So the Bible says, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." This is, of course, the devil speaking to God. So what does the devil and God have to say about Job and about this hedge? Well, we're going to find out this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your many blessings, Lord, that you've given us. Father, we thank you for this church, our church family, those that are gathered here and those that are gathered watching online, and others that are otherwise somehow or some way incapacitated or unable, providentially hindered, unable to be with us, or sick, under the weather, etc. But Lord, we just ask tonight that you'll meet in our midst, and Father, that you'll have your will and your way be done this evening, and just open our hearts and minds to your truth, Lord. May I decrease and you increase in all that's said and done, and we'll thank you and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, what we want you to notice here is that in connection with this hedge, we have to understand that there is a devilish obsession. If you'll notice right here in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." So the thing you need to understand is that the devil is busy searching for people he can destroy. We are told about this, and we're reminded about this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So we are reminded in the Bible that the devil is constantly looking for people he can devour, he can destroy. He knows his time is short, and so he's working overtime. He walks up and down throughout the entire earth. He walks through our city. He walks through our town. He walks through our county. He's going through our neighborhood. He's going down our street. And he's got one thing on his mind: your total, utter ruin and destruction of you, your life, your family, and everything else connected to you. You know, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus reminded us about the enemy. And he said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So there's not one moment of the day where Satan or his demon are not trying to destroy you and I. He will use everything and anything he can possibly get his hands on to do it. The devil will use family members. He will use friends. He will use neighbors. He will use your job. He'll use your finances. He'll use your fun time. He'll use your cell phone, your laptop, your computer, your TV. He'll use lost people. He'll even use church people. He doesn't care about your happiness. He doesn't care about your dream. All he cares about and all he is concerned about with you is one thing, and that is your utter, complete destruction. That's all the devil wants. The devil is not your friend. He is not in any way, shape, or form, in any way possible, your friend or mine. If you're lost, he will do everything he can in his power to get you to die in your sins and go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's what he wants, ultimately. Secondly, if you're saved, the devil, he'll do everything he can in his power to rob you of your joy, your testimony, your fellowship, giving time for God and giving time for his word. He works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He is nonstop, always constantly roaming about, seeking him and his demons, who he can destroy. He wants to wear you down, break you down, and pull you down. That's all he wants to do. And you know what? A lot of times we give him that satisfaction. I say it's time for us to make sure and check our hedge round about it. But see, the thing about the devil is he can't get immediately to us. That's the blessing that we see in this chapter, is that he could not get to Job. He could not get there to his family. He could not even get to his possession, because he himself said there was a hedge about all of that, because God had blessed him. Ain't that something? Well, let's look and see here, number two, a distinct observation. Look in verse 8. And God says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now here is a clear fact we see from the Bible, that Job was under observation. Ain't that something? He was under intense scrutiny. And it causes me to pause and wonder, isn't this something that a man comes up in conversation between God and the devil? I don't know about y'all, but I don't ever want to be the topic of God and the devil's conversation. Because I look and see what poor old Job went through. I don't ever want to be brought up in that topic. As a topic in that talk, I don't want that. But if it happens, then I pray God will give me the grace to get through it like he gave Job there. But let's look first of all at a delightful observation in verse 8. You know, I love how God asked Satan if he had considered Job. Now follow me with this. You know, I'm glad to know that God himself was considering Job. And so that should cause us to think about God, in that we have a God that considers you and I. I mean, it's clear from verse 8 that God had been observing Job. So we see that. And if you want to lay it out where we can kind of grasp and wrap our heads around it, if you want to look at it, God is bragging on Job to the devil. "Have you considered my servant Job?" I mean, think about that. God himself was testifying to the devil, to Satan, about Job. You know, when you stop and think about it, you know, we think about ourselves testifying for God. You know, going out here to this lost and dying world, and we're going to testify, we're going to brag on God, we're going to talk about God and say, "Hey, I want you to look and see how great a God this is whom I'm serving. You know, look at what God did for me. Look at what God can do for you." You know, we're going to testify and brag on God. But here, the situation is reversed, that God is testifying, he's bragging on a human being that's living for him. Wow, how about that now? I mean, notice God's delightful observation here. God calls him my servant. Now, what does that speak of? That speaks of Job's service. Job was serving God. God said there is none like him. You know what that means? That speaks of superiority. That speaks of Job's superiority. You know, there ain't nobody else like him out there. That's pretty good if you ask me. God said he's a perfect man. That means he's sound. He was complete in everything that he did. He was complete and sound. Fourthly, he said he's an upright man. Well, that speaks to Job's spirituality. If he's an upright man, that means he walked upright in his several stations before God and man. And so he was there walking as he ought to walk before God. So that points to his spirituality. And then we see, and he's one that escheweth evil. Eschew means when it pops up, you knock it back. You knock it off. It's kind of like them little old games, you know, you used to shoot at or something. Maybe we can incorporate like a baseball toss game for the fall festival next year. But that's the thing. When it pops up, you knock it down. So every time sin or temptation came around Job, he knocked it out. He just didn't have time for it. He didn't make time for it. He didn't allow the devil to get a toehold on his property, on his family, on his person. Every time they tried to come up, he just knocked them back. So he didn't make time for the devil or for temptation. That's pretty good. So that speaks of Job's sanctification. So God is bragging on Job about his service, his superiority, his soundness, his spirituality, and his sanctification. That's pretty good. But then you look in verse 9, and there's another observation that comes out here. And that is a disturbed observation. The devil rebuts this, and he says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught?" All right, so if it's a blessing to our soul to think about that God considered Job and that God thought about Job and that Job was on God's mind, the flip side of this coin is that the devil knew him, and he knew him by name. Notice what he said, Doth Job The devil knew his name. You know, there's been many preachers throughout history, throughout Christendom, that have, I remember one of the great ones that I'm thinking of right now. He preached a sermon one time about, does the devil know your name? Is your name known in hell? Now that'll preach right there. That's pretty good. But see, Satan's logic here, as he also considered Job and thought of his name, Satan's logic was that he believed that Job feared God because of what God had done for him. In other words, in Satan's mind, the idea was, okay, God, if you take all this stuff away from him, if you take all your blessings away from him, then what does Job have to bless you for? Why is Job going to bless your name? Why is Job going to follow you? Why is Job going to even respect you or pay you any attention? If you don't give him anything to bless him, then Job's not going to bless you back. And you know what? In my opinion, I think that's the majority of saved folk today. That our relationship with God is based on what can you do for me? And that's not right. You know, I remember Brian Rome saying years ago, and this point, I believe he said it right. That if the only thing God ever did for you and I was save our soul and that's it, that was good enough. That's the best we could ever get. I mean, if God never blessed us with anything else in this life, that's wonderful that we would have the free gift of salvation. But it's something about this when you think about this statement that the devil makes. You know, people that do not fear God are not people that do not have a reason to fear Him. They simply either do not know what He's done for them, or they either don't care. You know, Romans 2:4, look what it says. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Or how about 1 John 4:19? We love Him because He first loved us. How about Romans 5:8? But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the devil knew that Job feared God because of all that God had done for him. Of course, the devil wouldn't understand that. He wouldn't. He's never done anything for anyone. The devil hasn't. The devil has never blessed anybody. He's never loved anybody. The devil has never been good to anybody at all. He doesn't understand the relationship God has with man. God's done a lot for us, but that should not be the sole motivation of why we fear God or why we respect God. We should respect God simply for who and what He is. The fact that He loved us that He did for us what nobody else could ever do for it. And that whether God were to give us anything else besides salvation, that's besides the point. You know, a lot of times people are getting to the idea now that they love the gift rather than the giver. And that's what the devil was thinking, that only Job loved the gifts that he got from God rather than loving the giver who was God. But now let's look at this. Let's look at this number three, the divine obstruction. And I love this divine obstruction because in our text verse in verse 10, he says, Satan again says, hast not thou made an hedge about him? All right, now let's first of all notice something about this hedge, beloved. Let's notice first of all the source of the hedge. Hast thou not made? See, this hedge was not a fence. It wasn't a wall made by man. Job did not make it. The hedge was not made by Job's parents. The hedge was not made by Mrs. Job. The hedge was not made by his pastor. The hedge was not made by his church. The hedge was not made by his children. The hedge was not even made by him. The hedge was made by God. So that is the source of the hedge. Let's look at the scope of the hedge. Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now that, beloved, if you ask me, that is an amazing verse. Because this man Job was living right for God. He loved God and he eschewed evil. And so in return, we see that God put up this hedge around his child. But not only him, but notice he says about his house and about all that he hath on every side, and hath blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Now, this is not preaching or teaching a prosperity gospel. This is merely showing the blessing of God upon Job for what and who and what Job was. We notice here that Satan knew that God had put a hedge up not only around Job, but his family and everything that he had. Satan knew that it was God's hedge of protection that allowed Job to be blessed and to be successful. That's pretty good. So people say, well, is there, you know, are there any benefits for serving God? Or is there anything good in my life that can come? Absolutely. If we live and we do what we can for the Lord, God has promised to take care of us. Now, this care for Job just manifested itself in the way that he was the richest man inside the land. But see, Job didn't do this. He didn't live right and do right just so he could be rich. This was merely the blessing that God gave to him at that moment. And so we see the success of the hedge as well. You see, Satan admitted something very vital in this passage. And here's the thing. He couldn't do a blessed thing as long as that hedge was there. He could not touch Job. He could not touch his family. He could not touch anything that he had or owned as long as God had that hedge there. So that tells me that no man, no nothing, no substance, no demon, no devil himself could not move or budge that hedge. So if God shows us in His Word that the devil himself could not move a hedge that was about one man, his family, and his possession, unless God moved it, then what does that tell me about the blood of Jesus Christ? If that ain't a hedge about me and my soul, I don't know what is. If the hedge is there about this man and his family and his stuff, then bless God, I got another hedge about my soul. That is the blood of the Lamb of God that no demon in hell, no sin ever born or made could ever move or budge that hedge that God put down there around your soul and mine the moment we get born again. Phew. So with all Satan's experience and all of his tactics, he was completely powerless to do anything to Job as long as that hedge was there. I don't know about y'all, but I thank God for the hedge. You know, the Bible's clear in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But now I want you to notice something. Even though everything was hunky-dory and it was, you know, locked down pretty good. Talk about a lockdown. God lifted that hedge. God removed that hedge. I mean, do you see what happened about the floodgates when that hedge was lifted? Of course you do. Job went through the worst time in his entire life. I mean, yeah, he went from being a millionaire, billionaire, over to being a pauper overnight. But even beyond that, he lost all 10 of his grown children at one time because that hedge was lifted. God lifted that hedge. Now watch this. For Job's own good. Now see, this is the thing about the prosperity people out there that are preaching this nonsense about a prosperity gospel. Like Joel Osteen and things of that nature out there saying, oh, if you live for God, you're going to make tons and tons of money. Okay, Job was living for God. He made tons and tons of money, but guess what? God yanked it all away. God allowed it to be gone. And that didn't happen because Job somehow got in sin. That's what these wackos out there like to tell you. Is that, oh, if you get in sin, then you're going to lose everything. The thing is that Job lost these things because God lifted that hedge. It ain't because Job started going to the bar. It ain't because Job started living in sin. Job didn't do any of that. God lifted that hedge and allowed the devil to attack everything that Job had, even to the point of his health. And you got these people out here saying, oh, if you got COVID, it's because God's judgment is upon you. No, it ain't. We get sick, you know why? A lot of times, you know why? Because we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. Our body, our flesh still has the effects of sin around it, and it just happens that sometimes in this old rotten world we live in, we're going to get sick from time to time. It's just a fact of life. It doesn't mean it's a judgment of God. It just boils my blood when I hear people say that. Because it's the same thing that Job's three friends said. Oh, Job, this has happened to you because of some unknown sin that we don't know about. You need to get right with God. And the other one turned it up, and the other one turned it up even more. They must have been Baptists. I mean, looking down their long Baptist nose at him, throwing him under the bus. That ain't why it happened. The reason it happened is because God lifted the hedge. Nobody can move that hedge but God Himself. And God let that happen to prove Job. Notice there's three things the reason the hedge was lifted. Number one, the hedge was lifted to prove Job's faithfulness. Notice in verse 11, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Look at chapter 2, verse 6. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." You see, Satan told God that Job would curse God to his face if he lost everything that he had. And I firmly believe that there's a lot of people out there today that go to church, that if suddenly they were to lose their car and their home and their job and their family and their health and all that stuff, they'd curse God and they'd say, "Why me, God?" And they'd throw such a pity party and a tantrum like a 5-year-old not getting their way. But you know what? Why not? Did not Job tell his wife, "You know, you speak as one of the foolish women. Shall we only accept good at the hand of God and not evil?" But you know what God told the devil? "He ain't going to curse me to my face." He said, "No, he ain't." So what do? There's only one way to feed. There's only one way to find out. There's only one way to see. Lift the hedge and allow Job to be tested to prove Job's faithfulness. So what did this do? The lifting of the hedge proved Job's faithfulness to God. It proved Job's faithfulness to Satan. It proved Job's faithfulness to his wife. It proved Job's faithfulness to his friends. That's what it showed. So when the chips are down and you're going through this mess and you're going through this, don't start suddenly flipping it back on yourself and say, "Woe is me, why me?" All you've got to do is look to God and say, "Okay, the hedge has been lifted for a reason. Why? I don't understand why, God." I mean, Job, that's half the book right there. Job is scratching his head wondering, "Okay, I've been living for you. I've been doing right. I've done all these things for you. I've kept the commandments. I've done what you've wanted. I don't understand why this is happening." And he actually gets into a little bit of depression in there. But the Bible's clear. And all these things, Job sinned not with his mouth. He did not sin with his lips against God. So what does that say? Sure, sometimes it's okay to scratch your head and wonder, "Well, I don't know why this is happening." But what you've got to do is, even when you can't understand the why, even when you don't understand why, you got to trust the Lord. You got to lay hold on His hand. I mean, I have known people near and dear to my heart that have died, and I don't understand why they died. I have seen people that have had babies, and they have miscarried those. I don't understand the why. There's a ton of things, beloved, that we don't know the why. But sometimes when we go through the why, we have to understand that our Heavenly Father is allowing this to let us be proved in what we say we believe. You know, talk is cheap. You can get it by the pound, by the minute, seems like, for pennies on the dollar. Anybody can say anything. Anybody can preach a good sermon. Anybody can say, "Oh, I believe this or I believe that." But when the chips are down, when the storm comes and you're turned upside down and you're shaking and everything and you don't know where your anchor is, you do. You better know where your anchor is. Because that's when the times you've got to let your faith shine to a lost and dying world. Because guess what? When you go inside that storm, everybody that says, "Oh, they're a Christian," they're going to be looking at you. Number two, another reason the hedge was lifted was to purify Job's faith. In chapter 23, verse 10, this is what he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Again, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You see, Job knew that even gold can be purified. Silver can be purified. Though he was called by God Himself perfect and upright, feared God and eschewed evil, guess what? There was still room for improvement. Don't you dare ever think that you have arrived and I don't need to do this anymore. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know what? I read my Bible through 45 times and you know what? I don't need to read my Bible no more. Hello? Oh, I pray a lot. I've prayed a lot through the years. I don't need to pray as much as I used to. You go look at the life of Jesus and then come back and tell me you don't need to pray as much. Oh, I went to church this morning. I don't need to go back Sunday night. You know, that's just too far for me to drive. Or I don't need church no more. Yes, you do, because Jesus is the head of the church. And He said, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Folks, we need to get back to the basics. We need to stand true and don't think, well, I've got enough to last me. No, you ain't. You need more of God, more of Jesus, more prayer, more Bible, more church, more things of the Lord. So don't say you have arrived. You and I haven't. And there's still room to improve. You see, Job had enough confidence in God to know that the trial he was facing would in the end reap benefits for him. As much as it hurt. If you've been told, okay, you're a Christian now and now you got it made, I don't know who told you that, but that ain't from the Bible. If anything, now you've become public enemy, especially if you're living for God, especially if you're trying to live right, especially if you're trying to do right, then you're a threat to the devil's kingdom. And what's he doing? He's looking around out there trying to see who he can devour, who he can destroy, whose joy he can rob, whose life he can ruin, whose testimony he can run through the grinder and pulverize into a million little pieces, what church he can shut down. You see, Job believed that no matter how bad it was, he would come forth. Huh? Did you catch that? What did he say? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, you know what he's saying there, church? He's saying, I'm going to make it through this. I'm going to come forth. I'm going to come out of this. So guess what that says? Your storm has got it pretty dark right now, but guess what? The sun's going to rise in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. It might be hurtful right now. It might be painful right now. It might seem like you're the lowest you've ever been. It might seem like there's no hope, there's no way out, there's no nothing, there's not any silver lining on the cloud. But I got news for you. Hang on to the nail-scarred hand. Lay hold of Jesus. Let hold of Him and don't let go, because you know what? When He pulls you through and this time of testing is over, you're going to come forth. You're going to make it through out of this on the other side and you're going to be all right. Amen. You might have some scars here and there, but don't Jesus have scars too? Yeah. He made it through His storm. He'll get us through ours. Whew, because if He did, you better believe you're going to. If He made it through the cross, He made it through death, and He rose again the third day, well, bless God, you better believe He's going to get you through your little old storm you go through. Your little old trial, your little old testing, He's going to make it through because He's got you in His hands. So we see that the hedge was lifted, one, to prove Job's faithfulness, two, to purify Job's faith, and finally, to promote Job. In Job 42, verse 12, it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Now, we noticed in Job chapter 1, verse 10, that God had already blessed the work of Job's hand, and his substance was already increased. But God wanted to do more for Job. Do what? God wanted to do more for Job. Ain't that something? God wanted to bless Job more than he'd ever been blessed before, ever in his life. So what did God do? He lifted the hedge. Now, from Job's vantage point, it looked like, great Scott, I've lost everything. It looks like God's become my enemy now. God must hate me. I don't know what I've done. Why? But the old saying says, this too shall pass. It was only temporary. It was only for a short time. Why? Because the hedge had been lifted. But guess what? When the time was ended, guess what happened? The hedge came back down. The hedge came back down. And then, since Job was faithful and Job's faith was proven and it was found out that Job and his faith was purified, bam, God poured on the blessings even more. You know, I think the walls got higher and I think the hedge got bigger. You, glory to God. So here's the thing. Thank God for the hedge. And thank God even when it's lifted. When you're going through hell on earth, when you're going through the most intense suffering and the most intense pain, and you don't understand the why, and you can't wrap your mind around it, and you feel like you're so alone, and you don't think you're going to make it till tomorrow, I got news for you. Job made it through. Paul made it through. Peter made it through. Jesus made it through. You're going to make it through.
Amen.
Just hang on.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it cannot and will not last forever. You will make it through. That's a promise. Now some people, you know, they say, well, you know, my friend or my loved one went through that cancer. They went through this and it seems like everything that they knew and the hedge was gone and then they died. Well, it might appear that way to us. But all I know is they went inside of a place where the hedge has never been moved. In a place called the Father's house, the heaven above the heavens. Where it's in the walled city where that hedge is there and no night can come, no pain can come, no sorrow can come, no devil can come, no demons can come, no sin can come. It's all gone. I think God put the hedge back down on them. And He allowed them and their faith and themselves to be tried and proven and purified. So whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner either way. But thank God for the hedge tonight, beloved.
Amen.
David, if you'll come. I do hope and pray this message spoke to your heart tonight. I hope that you got a blessing out of it. And I hope that that God has spoken to you today. Hello, Brother Todd. Welcome, welcome. Amen. We got here. Let me turn.